This podcast is brought to you by Questions You Need to Ask Before Marriage by Lucy Jones. Questions You Need to Ask Before Marriage by Lucy Jones will help you to better understand that person you're dating, reveal things that may be hidden between the surface, help you develop more control in your life, help you to make sure you're not blinded by emotionalism, help you to get more information about your companion's family background, and also is going to help you to become more aware of bad habits that he or she is not willing to change. It's going to encourage you to seek premarital counseling, help you to not marry a deadbeat, and most of all, important, if you have a friend, it's going to help you to stop your friend from making the biggest mistake of their lives. If you want to know more information about this, go and contact www.xlibris.com/lucyjones.html or KeepHopeAliveB@yahoo.com. Or you can also call at 1-888-795-4274. All right, guys, you ready to get this podcast started? I am ready. Let's go.
You are now listening to the Steve Durst Island Podcast. Get ready for some tropical conversations and some refreshing guests. Now, here's Steve Durst.
Hey, what's going on, people? Steve Durst in the building. Yeah, it's me, Steve Durst, with a brand new Steve Durst Island Podcast. The podcast I bring my most famous, talented, and amazing friends here to my luxurious and private island. And they talk about different things, the industry, what's happening in their lives, just different things. And just to, so you guys get to know my friends up close and personal, and you get to know them before, like, they blow up even more than they have, and you get to have a one-on-one with them. How cool is that? That's super cool. But today's guest is super, super special because this guy does absolutely anything and everything you can think. This guy can act. This guy's a model. He's a host, MC. He's a super devoted Christian and an amazing human being. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the one, the only, Aaron Groban.
What's up, guys? Hello, hello.
How you doing, man?
Doing good.
Long time no see, like you said.
I know. It's been crazy. I feel like it's been like a couple years.
It's been a couple years, yeah. Everything has been so fast. Like, this is my year three right now in L.A.
Okay.
It has gone so fast.
Yeah.
Weird fast. Like, when I remember when I came here, I was so lost to where everything was. Like, I don't know what the street is. I was, yeah.
Right. When we were pronouncing Cahuenga, Cahuenga?
Cahuenga.
Or however.
I remember when I came down here, I was staying, because we met from this cool named Amda. And that's where he graduated. Yeah. I went there. I didn't graduate there, but I went there for a little bit. And I remember when I hopped in this little band, because here they have, like, taxis. They're called the Super Shuttle, that they have, like, different people, and you can hop in, and you basically, they're all hopping a cab together, like a group of people, and it's cheaper. And I remember the street I was staying in was Yucca Street.
Right.
But in Puerto Rico, in Spanish, we pronounce it Yucca.
Yucca. Yucca Street.
So I said Yucca Street, and they were like, what? I said, Yucca Street, what? And it took like,
that's awesome,
10 minutes to actually figure out, like, where I was staying at.
Right, Yucca, you know, Yucca.
Yucca Street. Oh, you mean Yucca. Yeah, okay. You never had, like, weird experiences? Like, what was the weirdest experience you had when you moved out here?
The weirdest experience I had when I moved out here? Oh, man, what the heck? I don't know. So I've been out here for 5 years, right? Mm-hmm. So trying to think about the weirdest experience, dude, I don't even know. I don't even remember coming out. I mean, I don't know. Everything was new and different coming out here. I just remember not wanting to be a tourist. So when I was coming out here doing all the stuff, I went to all the kind of touristy first place things, which is really awesome, actually, looking back on it. But at the time, in the moment, I was like, I don't want to be a tourist. I want to be here. Mm. Like, not the star tours or anything like that, but just kind of walking around Hollywood for the first time.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm over this being the first time. Like, I just want to know it and be here. Anyway, that doesn't answer your question whatsoever, but I didn't really have an answer, so I just went somewhere else.
And what really threw me off also about moving out here is I didn't know I was going to see so many celebrities.
Right.
Because at first I was like, oh, I'm moving to Hollywood. It's going to be cool. I want to become this big-time actor. And then all of a sudden, like, I'm walking down Taco Bell, and I see Robert Downey Jr. just...
That was, like, your first week here, or what?
That was, like, I was, like, 3 weeks in.
Okay.
And awesome. I see him just strolling around with his girlfriend, you know, yeah, down Hollywood Boulevard, and I just got starstruck, like, crazy. I was like, oh, my God, that's Robert Downey Jr. down there. That's oh, awesome. My God. It's crazy, because now, you know, you work with a lot of those people.
Right.
That you really
so
admire.
We all walk the same streets. This mm-hmm. is, like, yeah, we all live here, so they're, yeah. Everybody's here in the same place. We shop at the same places, kind of. Depends what level of finance we're looking at. But, yeah.
And just to think about it, that when you go back home, where's home from you?
Portland.
Portland? Like, mm-hmm. where you go back home, like, people go like, oh, my God, that's Aaron.
Oh, my some God. People. Some people, yeah.
Some people.
Sure, sure, sure.
That they've seen you in things here and there. That they
yeah, I have
like,
to wear sunglasses and a hat. And, no.
Wear disguises when you go over there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy. When was the last time you went back home? You went home for the holidays?
Yeah, I did. I was just home for Christmas and New Year.
How was it?
Yeah, it was awesome. It was my one break a year, so it was very relaxing. Actually, I didn't tell anybody I was in town. I just chilled with my family, so I was just kind of undercover with the family and just relaxed.
Okay.
Because, you know, L.A. is just so full of craziness all the time. I don't know if you can hear my phone here, but it's going off. Mm. L.A. is so full of craziness all the time, and appointments and people and going, going, going. So I was like, when I go home, I'm not going to go. I'm just going to be on my family's schedule and just chill with them and do that. And it was relaxing and it was awesome.
And how have you adjusted from the lifestyle in Oregon to the lifestyle in California? Was it a quick transition or?
Yeah, it was quick because, like I said, I didn't want to be the tourist. I wanted to be here. And like I'd planned to be out here since I was in fifth grade. So as soon as I got out here, you know, there were some ties to home and whatnot, some relationship in the beginning. But I very quickly, like, adapted and didn't really see it as any different. Portland, you know, is kind of a city. It is a city, not as big as here. But they're both cities, and one's just rainier and one's sunnier. So I was like, no, I'm good to go. Let's do this thing. So, yeah, I adapted pretty quick.
And what side of town do you live in?
What side of town do I live in here? I live in Koreatown, so
in
like
Koreatown?
2 miles from Hollywood.
Yeah. Oh, you're super close to me.
I live, like, 2 miles from you, yeah.
I know. How do you like K-Town?
Yeah, I like it. I love K-Town. It's cool because it's diverse, like diversity of people. Everything's within walking distance. The gym's a mile and a half away, so I can just run there and work out. And, like, that's great.
Now, the real question, how many Korean friends you got?
I have a half-Korean roommate, and I was on a Korean TV series.
Oh, really?
Did you know that?
No, I didn't know.
So it's called The Heirs. It was on SBS. I had a recurring role, so I was in 4 episodes. But all of the people on the show are insanely famous in Korea. They're like the Zac Efron, Tom Cruise's, whatever, of Korea. And so that was amazing. Just like being in scenes with these guys, I was like, wow, it's like the star power here and the chemistry and whatnot. And it's like, okay, cool. So all of these famous people and me, everybody on the show was like famous for Korean TV from all sorts of different shows. And they like put them together into one like big mashup of a show. And threw me in there as well as the American, the token American. So,
do you get to learn any like Korean words?
Just a little bit. And it was a couple months ago now, so I'm kind of forgetting how they went. I need to refresh myself. But
I actually have one Korean friend. He's a regular comic at the Laugh Factory, and I met him through a show that I did with him at NBC.
Okay,
that it was a game show, and we both won together, which was really awesome.
What did you win?
We won. Well, he got the best prize of them all. He had a jet ski the first round.
Okay.
The second round, a jet massager. The second round,
a jet ski and a jet massager.
Second round. Okay. Third round, he won a trip for 20 people to Miami.
Did you go with him? Did he take you? Were you in the list?
I don't think he took that
top
one.
Top 20 friends.
I don't think he took that one. And then at the end, 25K.
Whoa. All right. So that is a good. That is
That's why he won. I won like a camping trip, a trip for 6 to Machu Picchu in Peru, a private concert with the Backstreet Boys.
Your dream since fifth grade, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the 25 too.
Okay. Okay.
Which was awesome, man. And
nice. Yeah, it was amazing.
It was just great that our show was the only show that we both, like, two people win together. Because the other shows were people screwing other people over. And that's why the show got canceled.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. Because they were planning to get it to a second season, but it only lasted for one.
Whoa. All right. They were just like, this show's too nice to people. We don't. That's not going to that's not gonna get anybody.
It's just like, if you go on Twitter, man, just people were just blasting on the show. Like, this show's America's Greed. And because they were throwing the really bad episodes first, like a lot of them. I'm like, why didn't they put our show? I mean, I know they're not going to put right off the bat our show because it's the nicest one.
Right.
But they can put it like maybe the second
show. I see. So your episode, it wasn't even like a different show from the same network. It was just your episode.
Yeah, my episode
was nice.
Yeah.
Everybody else was just terrible.
It was terrible. Wow. It was a lot of people going like, I promise you, I don't want the money. I just want to help your cause and all that. And then at the end, bam, I was lying. You know, the whole twist of TV. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Okay. Well,
and then people were getting like crazy amounts of money. Insane. Like those people screwing other people, they were getting like $300,000.
Wow.
Because they took their other people's money and their money and all their prizes, and they just kept everything.
Wow.
It's insane. It was insane. It's an insane show. It was an insane process, which I don't want to go again. Now I have...
Right, but you got $25,000.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. Oh,
that's
I loved it.
Cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But
worth the headache.
Oh,
worth
yeah.
the one time.
That one time. But now that people... I have the utmost respect for everybody. I mean, the Price is Right and all that, I know the process, which is like a one-day type of thing. But when it shows for, like, primetime TV, I have all the respect in the world for the contestants because I know everything they have to go through, like, the whole screening process, the auditions and the calls and the meetings, and I'm done with that.
Yep. Okay. There you go.
Just with that aspect in particular.
Right.
Right now, I don't know how much you can talk about that, but you were down for to be a travel host.
Yeah.
I saw it on your Facebook.
Yes.
So you keep everybody outdated.
Right. That's my marketing page.
That's your marketing page?
It is. I just use my Facebook page as marketing.
That's your brag page. Everybody be liking your status like, oh my God, he's doing big things. Hey, Aaron, hook me up.
Yeah. You know, it's cool because I sometimes do. A lot of people ask me if, you know, do you know people of this type? Do you know blah, blah, blah? And so it's always cool. It's always a blessing when I get to be like, yeah, let me like refer this person to you. And then when they go on to book the gig, it's like, yeah, that's tight. So I love being in that position to like kind of further other people.
Mm-hmm. And I talk about that. We actually have a friend in common. I want to talk about this because I want to know how you know this guy.
Oh, my gosh. Hopefully I remember who this
Chad,
is by their name.
Chad Zeno.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We both know him. Okay, so I'll tell you how I know him. Mm. We both got cast in a film called Virgins for Life.
Okay.
Right? It's this comedy feature and whatnot. It actually, after 2 days of shooting... no longer was being made or whatever. So I don't know what happened exactly. I don't know what the story is. I got paid for my couple days, but that's it. So I know him based on that. He was another, one of the supporting roles, I believe. Mm. And, he's an awesome guy. He's a cool guy.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So he's a cool guy.
He's a super cool guy. Yeah. I met him. We did a short film together. Okay. He wasn't actually in the short film. I got cast in the short film. The working title was Amanda. Now the title is Lie With Me. It's being submitted to so many film festivals right now.
Okay.
And the script had a third character that only had like two quick lines, and we didn't have that third character. Like that character just wasn't cast for some reason. Like the day of the shooting, we were there, and
like, somebody get Chad in here.
And right, he was an extra.
Okay. And they just pulled him up.
Yeah, because it was we were shooting like it was a club scene. That we were outside the club and then inside the club, and they had like a bunch of extras, and Chad just got picked out of the bunch.
That's awesome.
And that's how we just became friends.
That's
and after
awesome.
I saw him again, the premiere, he called me to shoot, but that day I had so many things I couldn't do it with him. He was doing the Crash the Super Bowl.
Okay.
The Doritos.
Yeah. He did a couple of those, right?
He called me for one.
But I think he did a couple.
He might have done a couple. I mean, people do like 15 of those. Yeah. You never know with those. Yeah, so many 20. Submissions.
You know, no big deal. Chat
no
20,
big deal.
You know, whatever.
That's my dream, though. I really want to book like a commercial that like airs in the Super Bowl.
That'd be amazing.
That would be, but I would like to do like a really great commercial. Like,
yeah, absolutely. Really, in like, time. In time. Definitely.
In time. We'll see. We'll see. Right. What was the best? The job that you it sticks in your head like one of the bestest works you ever done here in LA.
One of my favorite things, yeah, that favorite Korean thing. Show actually we were talking about, The Heirs. That is definitely one of my favorites, just because. Well, for one, it's being seen. It was a huge show in Korea. Mm. Here, you know, it was you know what it was, but in Korea, it's huge. And I loved the character. I loved the characters. The whole series. I actually loved the whole series. And just me getting to be in that culture, just kind of inundated in that culture, was amazing. Being like the only American dude on the set of Koreans and whatnot. There were two American girls there from time to time, but yeah, it was amazing. Because before that, I'd always said the culture I know the least about is like the Asian culture. So I really wanted to book it so I could like go there and whatnot. And, you know, everybody's talking in Korean. There's only a couple people who spoke English. Mm. So everything had to be like translated to me. So I had an amazing experience with that. It was great. It turned out great. So yeah, Bears.
Man, but you got to tell the people about this guy. I don't know if you guys realize this, but this guy is like a superhero, because this guy is on even comic books. Yeah, you know how many kids would dream about being in a comic book, and you're actually in comic books?
It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. And, so it's the Star Wars. It's George Lucas's new
Star Wars. Not any Star other Wars comic series. Book. Just Star right. Wars, you know? Nothing right. big.
Yeah. So it's cool. Like, I guess they said George Lucas was the final person who had to say yes to me being Anakin, and the story follows Anakin. It's photorealism, so it's like me with maybe like an animated gloss over me in an animated world. As you know, you've seen some of the pictures and whatnot, but it's cool. Like, that gig's a blessing. It's through Dark Horse Comics, which is like the third biggest comic book publishing house, and Mike Mayhew, who he's the illustrator. He's worked for Marvel and DC and all these people. Like, he's a huge illustrator, so it's been cool working with him and just being a part of, you know, the Star Wars legacy.
Were you a big Star Wars fan before this, or you just became a big Star Wars fan after all?
I'm definitely a bigger fan of Star Wars now than I was before. Like, yeah, I was a fan of Star Wars, but I wouldn't say, like, oh, yeah, I'm a huge fan. I have posters all over it. Like, no. I was a fan. Like, yeah, I like Star Wars. But now it's like, oh, yeah, Star Wars, awesome.
Because it seems like Star Wars plays a big role in your life now. Because, for example, I was also watching clips of you fighting another dude with
lightsabers.
With lightsabers.
Yeah, so that's not even Star Wars themed, but that's a product marketing series that I'm part of. It's a 4-part series. We've done 3 so far. It's called Kevin versus Aaron. Flashing Blinky Lights is the company. And those lightsabers, the light up swords, whatever you want to call them, they sell those. So that whole video was to market those. So yeah, we're like sweaty and grunting and having this crazy fight with toy lightsabers. So yeah,
that's super cool, man. And was it all choreographed by you guys, or?
Yeah, because the other guy and myself, Kevin is his name. We both took a choreography class and were certified in different types of swords and weapons and stunts and whatnot. So yeah, he and I choreographed. I think we both choreographed about half of that fight and just kind of worked on it and. Then yeah, it became Kevin versus Aaron.
There you go. Amda helped you a lot then.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. That's where I got my stunt certification. Yeah.
Do you use any of the specific training that they teach you over there?
Yes, absolutely. No, that has been such a help. Having those credits and whatnot, booking the types of films I'm booking that, you know, have action, that have all these kinds of things, and getting to do sword fighting and whatnot. It's helped tremendously, because then they can just hire me because I have those skills, instead of hiring a stunt double or just hiring another actor who can do both the acting and the stunts. So yeah, getting that certification, getting that training, getting that experience, learning how to choreograph, all that kind of stuff has come in incredibly, incredibly helpful.
You hear that, kids? Go out and train. You need to be in the top shape, and you in your top shape, and you need to be ready whenever you know you get called in. You never know, and especially in this business, like you never know when you're gonna get that phone call.
Absolutely,
that's gonna change your life.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And I wanted to know real quick, what type of have you? Because in AMDA, when you go, you went specifically for acting, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. It was in the acting BFA program.
You had to take dance classes. Am I right?
You are right.
So I want to know how, because me, for example, when I went to AMDA, I was like, wait, I have to take dance classes? Why?
Right.
I want to know how do you apply those dance lessons to your life now as a working professional actor?
Oh, man. Well, for one, it's just good to be versed in everything. Mm. It's good to be able to say, yeah, I've been there, done that, even if I didn't do it too well. Because, yeah, my dancing is, I was not the best in the class, let's say that.
What type of class did you take? You took the dancing movement for the actor, right?
Yeah, that was the first one. And then what, dancing movement for the actor part two or something? Yeah. I forget. So, those. And then there was a musical theater course. I've done a lot of musical theater, whatnot, but they typically choreograph around me in those shows and whatnot. But, it was dancing movement for the actor. It was a lot worked into the dancing was also just kind of how to be a professional actor, showing up on time with the right things, not yawning, blah, blah, blah. Like the, you know, kind of the basic stuff. But just on more of a, strict level.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good for me to be a part of stuff like that sometimes because it is so challenging for me to, I can pick up sword fighting choreography easy, but dance choreography, like for some reason, that's like my Achilles heel. Like, absolutely. Like, I have a really hard time with that. So you might have saw on my Facebook as well, last night, even I took a Bollywood dance class.
Mm-hmm.
And that was way better than even the stuff at AMDA. Like, I wasn't better, but it was just, it's just good to always be challenging yourself and to be in those kind of situations and circumstances just to kind of be like, okay, whatever, like, who cares? I'm going to throw my ego out the window or whatever. And you just kind of have to be fearless when you're as bad of a dancer as I am and just kind of go for it. And, you know, whatever. You'll get a little bit better as you go, and I am still needing to get a lot better.
You just took it out of the blue, the class?
Yeah, kind of out of the blue. When I was in Oregon, I was working out with my brother and sister there. And we took a combat class one morning. My sister, she wanted to take a yoga class, and either they looked at the schedule wrong or they switched the schedule or something happened. And so we went in there, and it was a combat class instead. So we were like, okay, cool. So we did a combat class, and it really worked me in a really good way, like really good toning, really good, all that kind of stuff. I felt sore all over the place. So I was like, okay, when I go back to L.A., I'm going to look at my gym and see what classes they offer. And they offered Bollywood dance. And I was like, wow, I need to get better at dance. This will be good for fitness. And I love, you know, different cultures and just experiencing those types of things and, you know, learning more about cultures. And so I was like, this Bollywood dance class looks like it'll be a good fit for me.
Have you been out in the dance floor lately? Like to the real deal?
The real deal dance floor?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Not really.
What do you consider a real deal dance floor, first of all?
I'm a person, I like to do more Latin dance, just mm-hmm. because those are my roots. I do a little bit of salsa, merengue, bachata here and there.
That's awesome.
So I go to this place called El Floridita. It's down Vine and Fountain.
And Yuca?
Yeah, Yuca Street.
Yuca Street.
Down there, it's a Cuban restaurant, and it turns into a nightclub at night. But it's a salsa club with live music.
That is awesome.
And it's so great. And so I like going there. And the Conga Room down here in downtown. It's a nice spot to go to. But just little spots like that, and just, you know.
Yeah, that's amazing. I have not been there on those real dance floors. I have not tried to take my dancing out into the real world just quite yet. I don't know if the world's ready.
See, you're using it just for acting.
Yeah. I do, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, I do it more for acting, where I can have like 3 months to work on a move before I have to do it in front of anyone.
Have you had auditions that you had to dance for it?
I mean, yeah, for the musical theater. When I did that in high school. So I mean, yes, for that. And out here in Hollywood, I'm trying to think if I've. Yes, I have for commercials and for whatnot. I've had to do some dancing and whatnot. And
but
I,
what was it, silly dancing or actual, like, you have to make some steps and
there was some that was
them.
Silly, and there was others that I had to impress them. And I don't think I impressed them very much. I didn't get called back for it.
What was it? Was it like ballroom dancing or?
No, it was just kind of like real dancing, but it was like you can do whatever kind of dancing you want. They didn't even tell me this before the audition, by the way. It was like in the room, they're like, oh yeah, and dance for us, you know, do something that, you know, you can look cool doing. I'm like, oh boy, here we go, you know, some real dance moves or whatever, but make it look like you're having fun, you're with friends, whatever, you know, the type of things they would throw out at you. And so then I did that, and they said thank you very much. And then I left.
And then you said, see you at the callback.
Yeah, I didn't say that. I walked out with my head held high, but my insides like, oh, man, come on.
Recently, literally like 2 days ago, I went and auditioned for this thing that I cannot talk because I just signed a confidential agreement thing.
But something big, though, yeah.
Yeah, something pretty big. Good. I mean, we'll see because they haven't called me back yet, so I don't know. But still, I had to sign that thing. And they got me to work with kids, which I thought it was going to be super awesome because apparently it's like they're going to be my two brothers and they were going to annoy me and things. I'm like, oh, this is going to be so great.
Nice.
But my luck was that one of my kids, the one that was supposed to be the middle brother, he was super talkative. So he can say anything and everything. But the small kid, he was about 3 years old. He was super shy.
Right. Well,
like the shyest kid ever. And they wanted them to just be talking and annoying me. And I'll be just really pissed off. And then I get blown off and whatever. The audition thing. And but basically, what ended up happening was we had to take another take because the first take, the other kid was just talking and talking, and the other kid was just quiet in a corner.
Three-year-old was just sitting there.
Yeah. So the session runner goes like, okay, listen, Josiah, I need you to talk and talk and talk as big as you can. Can you do that for me? He's like, yeah. Yeah, I can. And then they go, action. And the kid goes like, car, car. And the other kid's just waiting for him to like say more things. And then he goes, you know what, man? Let's do this. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's have fun. Oh, he just goes.
That's awesome.
And the other kid's just
petrified.
Petrified. I don't know what to say.
That's hilarious. They should have got Chad Sanyo in there to play that role.
Yeah.
That's what they should have done. Chad Sanyo could probably play three if he tried.
And I want to know, because I know you have an extensive record of working with kids.
Yeah,
I want to know what's been the worst experience.
The worst experience with kids? Oh, man, I thought you were going to say the best. But I do have the worst. I do have the worst.
The worst and the best. I like to bring it from negative to positive.
Full circle. Yeah, full circle. I see. Okay, cool. The worst experience. I was entertaining at this birthday event, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I was supposed to be Superman there, right? So I have the costume, and I'm very blonde. But I had my hair all like bobby pinned up into this tiny little wig. But still, there's a lot of hair, and this wig wasn't the best. So my hair was kind of sticking out, some blonde spots here and there. Mm. But this kid dressed as Anakin Skywalker, you know, because I am him. That's why I paused there. But anyway, he was dressed as Anakin, and he was just possibly maybe the spawn of Satan. I'm not quite sure. I'm kidding, kind of. He was crazy. He was like one of those kids.
How old was his kid? Probably.
Man, I don't know. Maybe like 8 or something, right? Mm-hmm. So it was his birthday, and his mom, you know, was doing everything to make sure he was pleased. But he was like, I don't know if he was always like this or if he was just really milking it out of his birthday. Like, I'm going to get everything I want. And he was just crazy, and he would, like, cry, and he would whatever. And so he would look at me as Superman. Now, sometimes when I go to events as a character, all have costumes that have the muscles built in, right? Mm. And sometimes you have the costumes that are just the fabric, right? Obviously, the muscle ones are better. This one was just the fabric. So as soon as I got there, as soon as I walked in, this kid was like, "You're not even strong! You're not the real Superman!" All this kind of stuff, right? Like, he was just freaking out. No, like, he definitely didn't believe it. Most times, they think, like, you're the guy. You are Superman. You are whoever. But no, this Anakin Skywalker kid was not having it. Just kept yelling, "You're not strong. You're not Superman." Blah, 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 blah. The whole time running around, crying, acting crazy. And then he'd, like, get a turn in the game, right? We'd go around and get through some more people. And it wouldn't be his turn yet. But he wanted another turn. So he'd cry. And then he'd run and tell his mom that I skipped him. And so she'd come back and be like, "Make sure that the birthday boy is blah, 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 blah." Whatever. I was like, oh, my gosh. So that was the worst. That was the worst experience.
Oh, my God. I relate so much to you because I used to work back in high school with this company in Puerto Rico called Party Group for Kids. And basically we would dress up as different characters in costumes and, you know, entertain kids. And I remember one time we were doing this show. I think it's called Lazy Town. It's like a show.
Not familiar with it, but sounds great.
It's a lot of kids. They have, like, you know, but they have the costumes with the big heads and the whole full size costume. But apparently, for my character, I was playing some guy named Rico or something. I don't know.
That's appropriate.
Yeah,
Juca Street.
But apparently, they didn't have that costume ready that day. So what they switched me up to, like, be this grandma or something from Lazy Town, but they didn't have
Rica.
They didn't have
grandma
the,
Rica.
They didn't have the bottom parts of the grandma.
So you were like half grandma.
I was half grandma. So they basically what they say, "Oh, just put on some leggings." And the thing is, I don't know if you guys know, but I'm pretty skinny. So I have pretty, like, I got chicken legs. So I was getting clowned by my coworkers just right off the bat going, like, "Look at them legs." Because I had this big costume just up from my waist up. You know, this big costume, big head, big torso, and then just skinny legs just right
there.
That's
hilarious.
And then when I got to the party, it was one of the worst experiences ever. One of my coworkers actually passed out.
Because of the heat?
Because of the heat, yeah. So she had to go back in the, like, the truck and everything to take air because she passed out.
Oh, my gosh.
And,
that would be like a kid's nightmare as well, like to have the character, like, die.
The kids were worse, dude. The kids, I don't know who gave those kids pens or how they found them, but they were poking everybody, especially me. Especially me.
Well, because you had the chicken legs.
Yeah, because I had the chicken legs. Even the parents were clowning me. They were like, look at the grandma with the chicken legs. Oh, my God, the worst, the worst. The worst $25 I ever...
That's it? That's all you got was $25?
I got paid like $25 an hour, and usually parties were just an hour.
Wah,
so.
Wah, that sucks.
Wah, wah. But that was high school life for me.
Wow.
Then I said, I'm not working on this again.
That's
I'm surprised you still love it.
No, yeah, man, I love it. Well, for one, I get paid more than $25 to do it. But for two, like, no, it's cool. I do love it. I love working with kids. Mm. You know, they have such a joy and an innocence that you don't always see everywhere else in LA, you know. I get to travel a lot to do it, travel around to all sorts of different parts of the city, of the state, whatever, and that's awesome. And I've actually gotten some pretty amazing hookups from some of these entertaining gigs because I don't just do the private house birthday party things. Two, sometimes I go and they, like, have me host, like, legit host these big events, or, you know, I end up entertaining with Jessica Alba. That happened just the other day, so that was super cool. Yeah,
tell us about that. Jessica Alba.
It was cool.
First of all, is she cool?
She is cool. She's really cool because it, you know, she has a couple kids herself, but it was cool just to see her interacting with the kids like the same way I was and just kind of doing the same stuff or whatever. She wasn't just like standoffish or like, "I'm Jessica Alba, I'm not going to speak to children." Or, you know, whatever. She was really cool. When I first saw her, too, I was like, had to do like an extended double take because I was like, there is no way that this is Jessica Alba. She looks exactly the same way as she did when I was in high school. Like, she looks like she's 18 years old still. And this was not under like any sort of like film lighting and perfect makeup or whatever. I was like, no way. This has got to be like somebody that's related to her that looks a lot like her but is so much younger. But no, it was really her. And yeah, so she was just really cool, really kind to everyone and great with the kids and just cool in general.
Yeah, because usually what I found in Hollywood is that with the people you think are going to be like major jerks.
Would you think Jessica Alba would be a major jerk?
No. Like, for her, I would think she would be, like, a lovable, heartwarming human being. But the thing is, me personally, I see at least my trend is that everything is the opposite. Like, the people you expect them to be really kind and awesome, they end up being, like, the biggest douches.
Oh, that sucks.
Out here. Like, for example, I met Taylor Lautner. I thought he was going to be a huge, like, douchebag.
And I've heard he's pretty nice.
He's super nice. I've never met him. Super nice. I met him, like, down Hollywood Boulevard, too. And nice. I talked to him for a little bit, and he was cool. And but then I actually worked with him, the dude Ben Savage from Boy Meets World.
Yeah. And now upcoming Girl Meets World.
Yeah. And I was like, this dude, oh my, I grew up watching this dude. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, this.
I met Ryder Strong, and I felt the same way. Like, I grew up, like, watching you, blah, blah, blah. And he was great, too.
Yeah, and I thought he was going to be, like, super amazing, but he was kind of weird.
Uh-oh. Oh, okay. Well, too bad.
He was, yeah.
Ryder Strong was cool, if that makes sense for any of BMW fans out there who are disappointed now.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I'm still hoping that Topanga, whenever I meet you, you know, I hope you're nice and
she
cool.
Just got married, right?
Really?
Yeah, I'm sorry to be that downer
dreams,
for you.
Man.
Yeah, I know.
I had such a big crush on Topanga. I mean, I think America in general just had a crush on
Right,
Topanga.
She was like the girl next door, the one you like grew up with, whatever.
Mm, except for that name. She had a
Topanga. Topanga. You don't like the name Topanga?
I think it grew up on me now, but before it was like, kind of weird name.
Right, when we were first introduced to it as young. But then it was like, oh yeah, Topanga. That's a cool name.
Topanga. Are there any
Maybe named after the canyon out here, Topanga Canyon.
Topanga Canyon, true.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know why they named her Topanga.
Me neither. It just went like... It was
kind of random. Well, her parents were like hippies on the show. Mm-hmm. And she was really hippie-ish at first. And then as she grew up, she got more like not hippie-ish.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It was just only on her childhood. Afterwards, she just adopted everything Corey Matthews.
Yeah, exactly.
She was like, I'm middle class now.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Are there any shows that you are watching currently?
Currently, I am watching... Are you ready? Ant Farm on Disney Channel.
Really?
Really. Oh, that's kind of funny, right? Kind of hilarious. I'm a huge fan, though, of Disney in general. So, yeah, what were you going to say?
I said you actually met some people from Ant Farm.
Yeah, I did. So Chyna McClain, the girl from Ant Farm, I did meet her. I was hosting this thing at Paramount Studios.
That's when you got starstruck, right?
No, you know, I didn't get starstruck. A really amazing story of, like, the whole interaction and whatnot was really cool. But, no, I was not starstruck, but I was really excited to meet her because, look, she's like, an amazing, amazing girl. Like, she also is this, like, devout Christian, like you said about me in the beginning. Her family, like, they're all incredibly successful. They all love the Lord. They all love one another, and they're amazing just to people in general. Like, they love people. They're awesome, and she's really talented and just really hilarious. She's on her game. Like, she is doing a ton of stuff. So, yeah, it was cool to meet her, for sure.
Do you guys go to the same church now?
No, we don't.
You didn't ask her, hey, what church do you go to? I'm about to be a new member today.
Not yet.
Become friends.
There we go.
You need to Jonah Hill it, man.
Jonah Hill it?
Yeah.
What's the story with Jonah Hill? What did he do?
Jonah Hill became friends with Dustin Hoffman's kids.
Okay.
And that's how he got his break.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm. So by association.
Jonah Hill's break anyway? Was super bad?
Super bad, yeah.
That was the thing.
Like, he did a couple of, like, you know, features here and there. Right. But super bad was his big break.
Hmm. You know, I never saw super bad.
You never saw it?
Nuh-uh. I did not. Am I, like, missing out on life?
Not really. Honestly, I didn't find it.
It was more just a vehicle for the people in it to become something.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, Michael. Yeah, everybody. No, right. Not really. Well, Michael Cera did a lot of things. Of course, Jonah Hill is just all over now.
Yeah.
That other dude... the McLovin, dude with the glasses. He has done things.
He's done other stuff too.
He has done Kick Ass. And
he's been in a bunch of stuff. I've been seeing him around. Isn't he in The Neighbors with Zac Efron coming out? Isn't he?
Maybe.
I think so.
Not sure. I haven't really seen that trailer for that.
Yeah, okay.
That's the one with Seth Rogen, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, then I've probably seen the trailer, but I didn't see it on the trailer, I think.
Okay.
He might be
there. I think he's in there, but I don't know.
He might be there. He might not be. Who knows?
Who knows?
Confirm it, guys. Maybe, confirm it.
Maybe Chad Samuels in it.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
He's awesome. Do you like Taco Bell?
Yes.
We're not sponsored by Taco Bell. I just wanted to throw something random there on the table. No, but I want to now that we're in the subject, like I want you to because this podcast is especially also to inspire other people that have maybe dreams, not necessarily coming to Hollywood and becoming a big shot, but because some people that listen to this podcast, you know, they have other aspirations and other things. But I want you to. I want you to talk about how faith is so important to you and how it plays such a major role in your life and everything you do for them guys that are listening right now.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, like you said, it plays a major role in everything I do. Jesus is center, like, of everything in my life. That's the goal. That's the idea. I want that intimacy with him. And from there, that's where I build my career. That's where I build anything, personal life, any sort of anything. I build it from him at center. And, you know, let him lead. There's this thought that when you come out to Hollywood, you have to abandon all your morals to be successful for some reason. I don't know why people think this. I do. It's like you're pressured into doing it as soon as you get out here or before. Like always, you're always pressured to give up your morals to, you know, abandon all of that. But you don't have to, you know, we've been talking about some of my different successes and whatnot. And there's things that I will not do because, you know, I have a personal relationship with Jesus and I'm trying to build it from that. I'm not just trying to be a part of the industry. I'm trying to change the industry as well as be a part of it. If people want to work with you, they'll want to work with you. You know, if you have certain things that you're like, I need this to change in order for me to be a part of it, like I won't do this, then they'll change it if they want to work with you. Or they won't, and in that case, you just turn it down. Like, I've turned down other shows and other things and whatnot.
Same here.
Yeah, man. So, and, you know, and that's fine. I'm so glad that I have, and I'm glad I have those opportunities to turn it down because, you know, it makes a difference in people's lives, and it makes a difference in your own life to know that when push comes to shove, it doesn't matter how much money, it doesn't matter the fame, the power, the anything, it doesn't matter. Because what's more important is your relationship with the Lord, is looking in the mirror at the end of the day and being okay with that person you see in the reflection. And you don't have to. Nobody ever has to back down on the morals. Come out here. And Jodie Foster once said in an interview, never walk into an audition apologizing for who you are. The thing that sets you apart from everybody else is who you are. So why would I want to get rid of who I am just to become everybody else? I'm not going to book anything that way. And, you know, as I see it, it's the Lord leading my career. It's him that's blessing me, that's hooking me up with, you know, incredible things, like so many of these things that I've got and done and whatever it's just ridiculous. Like, there's no way in the natural that I would have gotten these things and just kind of been hooked up in the way I've been hooked up if it were not for the Lord. So, you know, if I start trying to do this by my own power, nah way. I'm going to crash and burn so quickly. But if I let him lead it and guide it and go in the direction where he's taking me in his time, seasons, all that kind of stuff, so much better. So much better for the career. Better for me to grow as a man and just in general, just for everything and everybody around me. It's better. And so I would say that to anybody else as well. Just do your thing. We were talking about Jessica Alba, too. Is it pronounced Alba or Alba?
I think it's Alba.
Alba, Jessica Alba.
At least that's what everybody says.
Yeah. Oh, if everybody says it, then. Okay. But Jessica Alba as well, she's an example of this. She has a no nudity clause in her contract. Mm. And she's known as, like, the sex symbol. She's, like, third on the list of all these kinds of things. I say third because I like to acknowledge that Brad Pitt was one higher than her on this list of, like, beautiful people. It's kind of a joke just because he's my favorite actor. But So she's known for, you know, being sexy, being this type of actor, and she has a no nudity clause in her contract. It hasn't hindered her at all. She, you know, she's still doing the type of roles she wants to do and whatnot, and she's not, you know, sacrificing anything to do it. And I'm sure her husband is very pleased.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And at the point that she's in right now, like, she's at the point that she can do absolutely. And not only her, I want to say this to anybody. You are in the position in your life whether that you can do absolutely anything you want with your life. Like, you absolutely have the power to accomplish and become the person you want to become if you really put time and effort to it and you really work hard at it.
And diligence and sacrifice.
Yeah, like, stop making excuses of, like, oh, I don't have enough money for this or I don't have certain things for this. Like, if you just move and you just focus on whatever your goal is, everything is just going to move towards that. If it's a noble and positive cause, everything is just going to move towards that direction if you really have that really strong power of belief. And that's why I wanted to talk to you guys about belief, because it's such an important thing. And the first thing is believe in yourself. Like, if you don't have that strong belief, how you expect other people to believe in you?
Right. Yeah, you got to have that confidence. You got to walk in there knowing that, like, I'm the dude for this. You know, mm-hmm. I can do this. Yeah, absolutely.
Not, and with that attitude, that I'm the dude for it. Like, I'm gonna come here and do what I came here to do, but in a positive light. Also, don't think about it as in a competition. Like, right. Oh, I'm better.
Right,
than
it's
this
not
guy
an arrogant thing at all.
Yeah, yeah,
confidence
yeah.
versus arrogance.
I
absolutely.
Think that's major over here in LA. Mm. Like, there's a huge, like, you know, like, I'm competing with this guy.
Right.
I'm better than this guy. Why did this guy booked it and I didn't? Or right. why did it? This guy from the callback, he messed up a line and he got it. Like, well, what's going on?
Right.
And that's the major issue. Is a lot of people, you know, just start competing against each other.
Right.
And start, you know, making enemies that they're not supposed to be even making.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they limit themselves to so many potential opportunities.
Absolutely. You know? Like you said, limiting. Totally. It's totally limiting because they're putting the people around them as their mark. Like, I just have to be better than this guy. That's so low. Why don't you be like, you know, way above all of that. Like, don't set the standard just to be better than the person next to you. Mm. Set the standard to be, like, the best you can be. It doesn't matter about the other people, you know. Be kind to the other people. Be, you know, whatever. Treat them as humans. If it's for you, it's for you. Like, if the role is for you, then it's yours. So you might as well make friends with the other people, you know, or at least leave them alone. Don't, yeah. you know, nothing. You don't need to be negative. You don't need to be trying to sideswipe people and stuff.
That's correct. And I want to know, what are your goals for 2014, since we're in a new year?
Mm.
And I also want to know, after that, your goals for the long term. Like, what you eventually want to accomplish here in Hollywood.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so for 2014, I'm really switching up. I do this every year and, you know, every so often, really kind of switch up my workout goals and fitness goals and kind of what's going on in that realm. Previously, I was doing these films where I had to, like, gain 15 pounds of muscle and, you know, all these kinds of things. And now my goal, instead of to increase size and whatnot, I'm working on toning. So kind of pulling it back, toning. You know, I can lose some thickness because I keep auditioning for these younger characters, like 18 to, you know, 23 or whatever. And I'm thinking, like, if I'm too thick to play an 18-year-old and I'm auditioning for 18-year-olds, then that's not going to work. So I'm pulling back, toning down, just trying to work on, you know, getting a six-pack, getting, you know, just getting more toned. And I want longevity in my life. You know, when I'm an old man, I want to be running around playing with the grandkids. You know, I don't want to be, like, all fat and stuck somewhere, like, I can't even deal or play with these, whatever. You know, I don't want to be held back. I don't want to move backwards even when I'm old, and I don't think that I have to. So, yeah. You know, the goals for this year with fitness all revolve around those kinds of things, and just making my fitness overall something that can, you know, be positive for the long run, for my whole life. This year, I would love to book a commercial that bears residuals. I've done a bunch of commercials before, and like national commercials went up, but they've all been buyouts. Mm. And so I would love to, I'd love to book a residual bearing commercial.
I mean, I'm with you with that.
There we go. And be on more mainstream shows. You know, I've only been on a few mainstream shows, and so I would like to, you know, start taking those next steps. I think those are the next steps. You know, getting more roles on mainstream shows and residual bearing commercial.
That's for 2014. Now, what?
That's at least for the first part of 2014. We'll see how quick I can do that. Then I'll make some more goals.
Okay. And what are your goals for Hollywood in general?
Hollywood in general. Basically, what I want to do is, I said Brad Pitt's my favorite actor, right? And, you know, he's getting older. Amazing actor, getting older, like Robert Redford before him. Robert Redford was like the Brad Pitt of the 60s, 70s, 80s, whatever. Mm. And then Brad came. And Brad's on his way as well. And I want to then come into that position and have that kind of influence in Hollywood and that type of career. So I kind of want to take that position, but do it from a Christian standpoint, be a Christian in the industry, but be as mainstream and be doing as the mainstream type of films as Brad, as well as I really admire his career because he really does kind of the full spectrum of genres and character roles versus the straight man versus, you know, all that kind of stuff. That's the place I'm trying to go. So to be a successful film actor, and success means something different to every single person. So a lot of that revolves around, you know, not ever breaking down with my morals, making sure those are where they need to be, having that intimacy with Christ, and being able to, at some point, come into that place where I'm really choosy about the roles I'm doing, you know, where there's lots of different scripts being offered me and whatnot, and I can choose to have that level of, to be that level of an actor, and, you know, to be sought after. Mm-hmm. My grandpa always said, when you do what you do so well, that when other people see what it is that you do, they'll want to see you do it again, and they'll bring others with them to show them what it is that you do. Quality never fails. So, you know, I want that to be, you know, my career right there in a nutshell.
You memorized that to heart.
Yeah, well, he said it so much that eventually I was like, okay, let's see here. I got this down. I know what it is.
Do you wake up and did you just have it plastered in your wall?
Like, I don't have it plastered on my wall, but I do have in my room, I have this small, like, framed thing with some goals for my life. Mm. With that quote. That quote is on it, so I see it from time to time. The other quote that's on it is, only those who attempt the absurd will achieve the impossible. Love that. And, yeah, so just, you know, even on that little thing, my goals are kind of just, like, to be the best future husband, to be the best future father, to be the best son now, to be the best friend, to be, you know, all those kinds of things, just to be the best I can be in those regards. I like to remind myself, you know, that, you know, that's what really matters. When it all comes down to it, like, who cares about all the other stuff, career, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. You need to be the best, you know, person to people, to the people around you.
Mm-hmm. Like, perspective changes like crazy, because I remember when I came out here, yeah, before here, you know, the whole dream of like, oh yeah, I want to get that, the Oscar one time, and I want to get this, and I want to get that, and I want to walk the red carpets, and I want to do this and that. And fast forward, you know, I've been here 3 years, and I've gotten to see the industry for what it is, and got to get my own perspective and experience on it. And honestly, a lot of things that I wanted, I don't want anymore.
Mm.
In the sense of like, I really could care less about award shows now, and I'm more focused on my work.
Yeah, absolutely. I could care less about winning the Oscar. Like,
yeah,
if they give it to me, great. But, you know.
Yeah, but
it's not what I'm like trying to
be. It's false hopes that people like put on themselves, like, oh, all I want is an Oscar, all I want is an MTV Movie Award or whatever it is.
Right.
And but at the end, it's so much more than that.
We'd rather have a sustaining career, one that's, you know, fulfilling, that we're doing the type of stuff we want to do, right? Mm-hmm. That's where you're going with this, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Like,
who cares about the Oscar? If they don't give me an Oscar for me doing, like, the things that I want to be doing, then that's okay.
Like, for me, for example, one of my biggest goals is to work with absolutely everybody that wants to work with me, you know?
Nice.
Like, I really want to work with so many different people in so many different projects because there's so much for me to learn and know. Like, for example, I a couple of weeks ago, I booked this industrial job, and I got to be a lobotomist. And I thought it was like I was going to go, you know, have the fake, you know, outfit on and say a couple lines and that's it. No, I got trained to actually draw blood from somebody.
Wow. So when they shot, did you really draw blood from them?
No, when they shot, I didn't really do it, but I got trained for it.
That's awesome.
And it was awesome because I never thought in a million years I was going to get an experience like that. And that's actually one of the things my sister does because she works for the Florida Health Department. She's a lobotomist over there, and she does a lot of testings and different types of things because she works for the Florida Health Department over there in West Palm Beach.
That's awesome.
And I'm like, I'm doing your job over here, and I'm just being an actor.
Yeah.
And it's so great to have experiences like that.
Absolutely.
And those are, for example, for somebody else, it might be a small victory in the sense of, like, it's not going to be on TV, but it's going to be on hospitals all across the USA.
Yeah.
And it's one of my biggest, I will say one of my favorite memories I've had, you know, acting, just because not only I had the pressure of, like, me delivering my lines both in English and Spanish.
Okay, there you go.
But I also had, like, you know, to do all this real lobotomist work.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Like, on the side, like, you know, prepping the machine with the tubing and all the different things, you know, checking work, whatever, and prep the hand like I'm actually going to draw blood. I didn't draw blood because afterwards they just replace it with the real lobotomist drawing the blood because that would be kind of illegal if I do it.
Yeah.
Because I'm not.
But technically, we could, like, go get your neighbor, ask them to volunteer. And on this table, and you could perform a lobotomy.
I could do it if I had the proper equipment.
I guess we would need the equipment.
Yeah, we need the equipment.
So we couldn't do it right now.
Yeah, and
maybe next show.
And I thought I was going to pass out because I'm like, oh my God, like, am I actually? Because there were extras over there that were just there to do the commercial, but they were actually real people because it was a real working.
Wait, extras are real people? I'm just joking. I'm totally just kidding. Sorry, go ahead. Keep going with your story.
You know what I'm talking about.
Keep going with your story. I do know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about.
But yeah, and there were, like, real people down there. I'm like, oh my God, this is surreal. Because this is an actual working place. Like, you know, I'm so used to just being on set and everything's fake.
Yeah.
And, but it's, like, legitly, like, real stuff. Have you done any, like, type of industrials like that you have to, like?
I've never performed a lobotomy on anybody, but I have done industrial videos and whatnot. Where I had to draw blood or anything?
Not like that, but, you know, like, you had to deal with.
Where I had to learn stuff?
Actual customers and.
I'm trying to think. I know there were some times where I've done things where it was like I was being. You know, I was trying to come off as real in a setting of actual reality, like you're talking about. But I'm trying to remember what these situations were. I remember doing it, but I don't remember the details.
I remember I did a little, that was a buyout too, a Walmart commercial. And I was there, and I was just, you know, being the Walmart guy.
Hmm.
And but I'm dressed like a Walmart employee. And people, every time I was walking down the hallway between cuts and different, you know, they were setting up the next shot. I was walking down the hallway, and people would stop me and go, like, hey, can you help me get this?
Where's that thing?
Where's
what
that
aisle
thing?
Is, yeah.
And so many people, I'm like, I don't work here. But you look like you work here. I'm like, yeah, because we're shooting a commercial. But I actually helped this lady out to buy a TV. It was great. And the people, you know, the people from the production were like, hey, like, tell them, like, you don't work here and whatever. But I have a pretty, you know, broad knowledge of at least TV-wise. And so I actually helped this lady, like, buy a brand new 70-inch Panasonic TV.
That's amazing. I'm sure Walmart was appreciative.
Oh, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. They should have gave me a little bump.
They should have.
For helping that lady make a sale.
That's right.
But it was cool. It was like, that was another experience. I was like, whoa.
That,
like,
is cool. You know what thing of yours I always remember? I don't remember who it was for, but you would, like, building planes, or you were doing something with people who were building planes,
oh,
or whatever,
yeah.
Like for NASA, or who is this for? You remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah, that was for San Diego State University.
Yeah, San Diego State University, NASA, you know, all the same thing. San Diego State University, yeah, I remember your, was that an industrial or commercial? I don't remember right at the moment.
Commercial?
Yeah, I just remember seeing you, like, on the screen, and there were, like, some other things, some planes and whatnot. Or something,
yeah,
going down.
It was for the Mars Project, because they recently did a landing mm-hmm. of a robot in Mars.
See, that's kind of like NASA. We see,
yeah,
why
it's
I got
NASA
confused.
Stuff.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, all right.
It was specifically for the San Diego State University.
But it was kind of about NASA.
But it was about NASA. It's about NASA.
NASA.
So NASA. NASA.
Alba.
NASA.
Juka Street.
Oh, those are the words for today. So write them down.
Yeah, and they'll be on the test. Next
every
week.
Time, every time we say it, just take a shot, and that's the drinking game for this this episode.
Oh,
but basically, the 13 of the people that made that mission possible were graduates of San Diego State University.
Wow.
And that was the reason they were promoting it so much.
That's awesome. That's impressive. There. That's like a great thing for San Diego State University.
They
like,
have.
Hey, by the way, these 13 people, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's amazing.
They have amazing astrophysicists and just rocket scientists in San Diego State University. So if any of y'all want to become scientists like that, go to San Diego State. It's a great place. Like, I never met, like, actually, have you seen The Big Bang Theory by any chance?
Yeah, I've seen a couple episodes.
I met literally those characters that you see, I met them in real life.
The real life versions of them?
They're smart. They're so smart, way beyond my comprehension. Like, I was like, oh my God, like, I'm learning so much with you guys.
That's amazing.
But you realize that, like, almost 75% of the things you're saying, I'm not going to remember.
But they may not know how to perform lobotomies, so.
That's correct.
You have that on them.
That's correct.
Yeah,
and they don't know how to act.
Yeah, so. True. True, man. Look at you.
And that's why we are the professional actors.
That's right.
We're professional. We're hired for that. So I want to know.
Okay.
So let's talk about a little bit about the voiceover realm.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is a voiceover.
Yeah.
In a way. It's a podcast.
Sure, if people are listening instead of watching the video.
Yeah.
Well, either way.
Either way, I mean, most
whatever,
people
listen. Whatever, it's an interview, sure, whatever.
Okay.
Go ahead, yeah, I'm going to just say yes. Keep
sure,
going,
yes.
Keep going with your question.
So, I have little experience at least making, that's one of the things I want to do eventually. I want to be able to make cartoons and different types of characters like that, because that's like what I love to do. But I have more experience in the commercial side of voiceover. I've done some cartoons here and there, like I did this pilot for Cartoon Network. I didn't get picked up or anything, but it was cool just to have that experience under my belt. And I want to know, have you had the opportunity to make, like, different characters for voiceover?
For sure. I've gotten some really cool voiceover opportunities from, like, you're talking about commercials, whether it be kind of a character in a commercial that's a voiceover, or narration of a commercial, or audiobooks. And in that case, I'm like a million different characters all in one, because you're the audiobook narrator, you're everybody. As well as then
that's a lot of pages.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool stuff. Like cartoon characters, like you're talking about. Yeah, kind of the gamut of voiceover work I've been able to do. Not all of it has been for mainstream TV, like Cartoon Network or whatever. Some of it's been more mainstream, like audiobooks for Random House, or a voiceover for Nike or whatever. But then some of the other things and cartoons and whatnot are more like pitch series and whatnot that I've got to. Did you like the P that popped off? The pitch series. Pitch series that, you know, I've got to do these characters for or whatnot. I'm actually currently doing this pitch series for a new Batman Beyond series, where I am Batman Beyond. And that's awesome. So there's one episode out, and there's another one coming out, and then we still have to record the third episode. But if people want to go check it out, they can type into YouTube, animated Batman Beyond fan film. That's how it's up on YouTube. We can, like, put it up there under fan film. Right.
Wasn't
now.
The previous Batman Beyond guy
Will Friedle
from Boy Meets World?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, they
full
actually.
Circle.
Yeah, no, crazy, right? So I was told the creator and writer of that, he he told me I basically booked the gig because I sounded most like Will Friedle. So I was like, oh, okay, cool.
Were you watching a lot of Boy Meets World?
At the time, no. But I mean, as a kid, I saw every single episode of Boy Meets World multiple times. I really did love that show.
you started your audition by
right? No, I just auditioned as Batman. I wasn't trying to sound like Will Friedle. Mm. But he just said, like, I had the closest voice match to Will Friedle, and that's why he booked me. I was like, hey, Will Friedle, cool.
Yeah, at least you got it, not that guy from that Gillette commercial that looks like you.
Clay Matthews? The guy from the Gillette commercial? Not even, like, the Green Bay Packers, you know, the football player. He's known more for his Gillette commercials now.
Yeah. I actually didn't
not
know.
Not winning the Super Bowl? Okay.
I actually didn't know that he still played. I just knew.
He does.
Because he does so many commercials.
Yeah, he does.
That I'm like, oh,
like
he's
for
the
Campbell's,
commercial.
For Gillette, some other stuff.
And yeah. He's also on those, like, sometimes he's on those talk shows, too, the whole football talk or whatever
right,
it is, halftime.
Right. Okay, cool.
Okay, cool.
I haven't seen him on there, but...
He's on them, like, from time to time, and I'm like, oh, I think that guy's retired, but he's actually playing.
Yeah, he's still going.
He's still going, man. How many times have you been like, hey, Clay Matthews, double, we need you?
I would love that. You know what? Clay Matthews, he weighs 100 pounds more than me, I believe. Is that
no.
correct? 100 pounds more than me? Yeah, he weighs 100 pounds more than me, and he's like 5 inches taller than me or something like that. So while I look like him in the face and just kind of in general, he's huge. That's a huge dude.
You can get that huge.
Yeah, I mean.
But you're trying to get lean now.
But now I'm trying to get just really, like, really toned and whatnot. I'm still, I mean, I feel like I'm lean. But now I'm, like, trying to get more toned. So, yeah, we'll see. But, I mean, hey, if they're going to make a, like, biography movie on Clay Matthews and they want me to do it, then, man, we're going to have some intense workouts coming up.
Well, you're trying to get on Team Wolf and, like, show your abs or something. That's what you're trying to do.
There we go. You know, it's not – I want the abs not necessarily just to show them off on camera or whatever. I just want them more to be like, yes, I have abs. Like, I am the ultimate level of fitness, like whatever. I just think people with six-packs, it's just like, that's cool. Like, that means they're really fit. And again, it's for the longevity of their life and health and whatnot, it's just like, dang, that's cool.
Are you keeping a clean diet?
So I was gonna say something else, but then you asked me the new question, so that's why I paused. My diet. I'm also making my diet better in 2014 than it was. I live on a really cheap diet to be minimalistic, so I can get these school loans paid off. But I'm trying to be a bit. I wasn't bad before with my diet, but I could be better. You know, so I'm trying to take that next level of better in the diet.
Do you cook more at home or do you eat outside more?
I never eat out. I eat on set or I eat from the grocery store, right? Unless like somebody is like, hey, I want to take you to wherever. Then okay, cool. But otherwise, no. I just buy groceries and make them.
When was the last time you had McDonald's?
The last time I had McDonald's.
I can tell you real quick. Last week.
You had it last week?
Probably, yeah.
I don't know. The last time I had McDonald's was a long time ago. I don't know.
Long
time. I dated this girl once.
More than a year?
Yeah, probably. Probably. I dated a girl once who really loved McDonald's. Mm. And, like, she had, like, a McDonald's cup and whatever in her... In her car, and so when she got the new McDonald's, she would, like, give it back and ask him to throw it away and be like, I'm a big fan. Whatever. I was like, that's hilarious. But anyway, yeah, no, she was really skinny, too, by the way, so I guess she could eat McDonald's all the time. But, yeah, that might have been my last time to McDonald's is why I bring it up, which was, like, what, 4 years ago or something when I dated that girl. Yeah. Maybe like that.
And how do you feel now compared to then, like health-wise?
Oh, fine. Even then, I wasn't eating very much McDonald's. Okay. It was a very rare occasion.
Because some people, like, just see the change real quick. They go, like, oh, I quit fast food, and
right.
I feel so much better. For me, it was soda. Like, once I quit soda, like, I was like, whoa, I feel so much better just drinking water.
Yeah.
Like, I used to hate just drink. Like, I'm like... 6 or 8 glasses of water a day? Like, that's impossible for me.
Nah, like, all I drink is water.
Yeah.
Pretty all much. I drink like, is I water. Never, I hardly ever drink soda. I'll say that. I never buy myself soda, that's for sure. But if somebody has some around, then maybe I'll take a sip or something. But I'm not a, yeah, I don't do all the soda stuff either.
No, I used to be, like, hardcore with soda. Crazy. Like, it got to a point that this is when I actually, like, I was leaning towards quitting, was when I literally opened the fridge, and the fridge was just full of water and juices, and there was only, like, one or two sodas, and I realized I am the only one in the entire house drinking soda.
Oh, my gosh.
Because my nephew, my niece, my sisters, my brother-in-law, all those people, they were all just drinking water and juice. Mm. They quit soda, like, for good, and I was the only one just... And it felt like, you know, being the only alcoholic in the house, basically. Like, am I the only one with the problem, really?
That's crazy.
Okay, I gotta quit.
But you seem real fit now. You might have a six-pack under that shirt, for all I know.
That's what people say, just because I'm lean. That's just genetics. No, but I try to work out. I'm doing this new workout now that my friend, he's been telling me about the workout over and over and over again. Because I like training with other people. I like to take in their disciplines and apply it to myself when I go to my gym. But now he was telling me, like, oh, you need to do this workout. This is all I do, and I feel great. I only go 3 times a week to the gym, and it takes me, like, 40 minutes to 1 hour to finish the workout. And it's called a 5x5. A strong lift is an app. You can download it on your phone, Android. It's free or whatever. And
on the Android, but not on the iPhone?
On the iPhone, too.
Oh, okay.
I have it on the iPhone. And
I have an iPhone. I forgot
to say the iPhone. You know, I just said Android. No, but basically, it's strong lift. You do 5 sets of 5 of each, like, exercise they tell you. It's only 3 exercises. Either, like, squat. You always do squats.
Mm-hmm.
So squats... You do bench press and deadlifts.
Okay.
And you do 5 sets of 5 of each. And it tells you the weight. And every time, if you do it right, like you do 5 the first time and 5 for all the 5 times, and it was an easy workout, then you increase 5 pounds next time.
Wow.
And you just keep increasing 5 pounds and 5 pounds and 5 pounds and 5 pounds until you just... there. And the thing is, it works you're working your entire body,
right?
With this workout.
So is this dude, like, in the best shape ever?
Oh yeah, like, this dude literally, he takes his shirt off, 6-pack, just bam,
rippling.
And wow. I'm like,
nice,
this is all you do? He's like, yeah, I've been doing this for the past year and a half now.
Is this a free app, by the way?
Yeah, it's a free app.
Huh. Maybe I'll have to download this thing.
Yeah.
What's it called again?
It's called...
Let's look it up.
Strong Lift.
Strong Lift.
Yeah. And it's the 5x5 workout. And literally, like, I'm like, seriously? And you don't do abs afterwards or anything? No. He says, I just do that and that's it.
Wow. And I want to look it up.
And he does it every Monday, every Wednesday, every Friday. Early in the morning, he gets up.
Yeah, only 3 days a week. It sounds crazy. It almost sounds too good to be true.
Yeah, and no supplements, nothing. He just eats regular food, and literally, and that's what I've been doing. And I...
Oh, yeah, so you've been doing this, too, three days a week.
Well, I've been doing it since December, so I just started.
This is the one, Strong Lifts, right?
Yeah, that's the one.
Well, let's just check it out.
Yeah, check it out, man. I'm telling you.
Might be something to try, for sure.
Yeah, my friend just got started on it, so he's checking it out, and so far he likes it, too. Me, I just like how not time-consuming it is. Because when I go to the gym, at first, I used to go for 3 hours.
Whoa. I normally go for more like an hour.
But, again, out of those 3 hours, let's discount, like, probably 40 minutes that I'm just on my phone.
Oh, gosh.
That I'm just, like, changing music or,
right,
you know, texting somebody. So, and then I said, okay, when I'm at the gym, I'm not going to look at my phone, period.
Wow, okay.
So I was working out for 2 hours. But now with that workout, I'm out of there.
You shaved off an hour. You were spending an hour on your phone at the gym. That's hilarious.
No, but also my gym has a little amenities here and there. Like, it has a jacuzzi. It has a...
So you're talking about you're at the gym for 2 hours. You work out for like 15 minutes and go sit in the jacuzzi for an hour 45? Is that what you're telling me?
I'm not saying that.
Okay.
All right. I'm saying is I will use those amenities because I pay for
included
it,
included in your 2 hours, though.
No, not in my 2 hours.
Okay,
in
so the you three, were in the work, three. Okay, but you were legit working out for 2 hours.
No, yeah, legit.
Not just sitting in the jacuzzi.
Nah. Like, I would legit right. work for, I would say, including, of course, like, breaks in between everything, I would say an hour and 45.
Huh, okay.
Because I would run for, like, 10, 15. Okay. I would run, at first, I would run for, like, 20, 25. But then everybody told me, what are you doing? Like, this is killing your workout because you're already.
If you're trying to build, I mean, that's going to.
Like, if you run.
All the cardio is more going
to. Yeah, they say, like, still run just because to get your heart rate up. Mm. But do it for, like, 5 or 10. Max 10. Like, don't do more than 10 minutes if you're running.
Right. So that's your goal, is to, like, get more jacked up looking. You want to look like The Rock.
No. Not really.
What do you want to look like?
I want to gain, like, 15 more pounds. I think 15 will be okay with me.
15 on you right now would, yeah.
Yeah, and just stay like this, lean, you know, nice. Because I'm going to be playing high school and all that for
a while. Yeah, we're both still doing high school, for sure.
Yeah, so I don't really want to get, like, super big. And I also want to... I would like, because one of the things I really miss is doing some type of sport, you know, some type of recreation. I think that's something I really want to add this year to my list. And one of the things I've been wanting to do, not because I wanted to do it professionally, because I'm going to get my butt kicked if I do that, it's MMA. Mm. I would love to learn some jiu-jitsu. That'd be cool. It's a humbling experience just because I remember I used to be a big sports fan and a big sports player too. I used to play soccer and basketball and volleyball and a lot of things. And I miss that, you know, I just miss the whole camaraderie of like being on a team or being in a certain type of thing and winning games and losing some. And I think if I get into like that, like MMA, for example, and I train and people are like beating me, not necessarily like beating me like, you know, hardcore tournament style, but like teaching me of like, you know, I'm stronger than you. I can power out. Right. And things. Like, you learn a lot from that.
Absolutely.
And you learn technique and a bunch of things. And also you could be used. You don't know. You might have a job that they might need somebody to coordinate a choreograph a fight for.
There you go.
And there you go. And then you have those skills and you can use them. Boom. Like you with your lightsaber stuff.
Yeah.
Bam. Bringing it full circle.
Full circle.
Full circle. And on that note, we have reached almost the end of the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we still have a bit of time before I need to move my car, so whatever.
You have a bit of time?
Yeah, if you want to keep going. If you're ready for me to go, then
I'm cool.
You can, like, give your lobotomy to the neighbor.
I'm just giving you time.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah. I just need to.
I know you have meetings and stuff. You're a busy, busy guy.
Busy. Try to stay busy. That's why I say, man, L.A., I'm here. I'm doing whatever. That's why I just chilled with my family for 9 days and, like, woof.
Will you consider ever moving to New York?
Consider it, like, if tomorrow somebody offered me a series regular in a show or whatever, then yeah, absolutely. Then sure. But it's not like in my, like, oh, I want to move to New York. I want to visit New York. Absolutely. There's a gig that I'm hoping to book later this week, and if I book it, I get to go to New York. It would be the first time. I've never been there.
You've never been to New York?
Never been to New York. I hear it's amazing.
I lived in New York for a little bit.
That's awesome.
But mine wasn't that amazing.
Oh, okay.
Just because I come from warm weather,
right?
And that's what I love.
Right.
So
I love it in L.A. L.A. is like where I need to be for what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. But if suddenly what I'm doing makes me go somewhere else more than just... I definitely want to travel all over the place, but if it requires me to move there, then okay. I guess I'm living in New York. You know?
And what about L.A.? Like, do you eventually, like, let's say you're... Let's fast forward to, like, 5 years, and you have all the money in the world, and you can do
So everyone else has no money? Is that
pretty much. Got everybody's bucks. You just have everything.
I better be a generous dude, then, in that case.
You can live anywhere you want in California. What part of California we live in?
Here.
In L.A.?
Yeah.
Just right there.
Yeah. This is where the stuff is going on that I need to be doing. This is where I feel called. You know, this is where it's happening. And so, yeah, I mean, even you're talking about, like, later when I could live anywhere and still do the things I'm doing, just flying in and stuff like that. But, I mean, I really like L.A. I think the thing that would – anything that would make me move out of L.A. would be that in my future, when I'm married, if my wife was, like, you know, we got to raise our kids somewhere other than L.A. or, like, she just really wanted to live somewhere else. And then if it was at the point, you know, where – you know, where the career would still work with just kind of flying back and forth and all that kind of stuff, then yeah, absolutely. It would be more dependent on my wife because I like L.A.
How many kids ideally would you like to have?
Ideally? Well, you know, it's interesting. Two, three, or four sounds real good to me, and it's just going to be more dependent on my wife. But I definitely want to have... at least one biological kid and at least one adopted kid, if not two of each, or some sort of combination with at least one of each of those, you know?
Yeah, I want to have my ideal is three, one adopted, two of mine.
So you want to adopt two? Good.
Yeah.
That's good.
I want to. I think it's fun.
So
like
you think of four kids? Is that what you just said?
No, three.
Oh, three kids.
Two of mine, one adopted.
Well, the adopted one would be yours, too.
That's true.
Yeah. Anyway, but I know what you're saying. Yeah, absolutely. Mm. That's cool. Adoption. That's cool.
It's awesome because I have a friend of mine. I believe. I mean, I'm not gonna say. I'm saying believing because I don't know. But I believe she can't have kids, and she adopted kid, and it's he's the best little kid like
that's
ever.
Tight. That's great.
Oh my god, I love it. And you clearly know he's adopted because they're like fully white. And the kid is Asian.
Right.
And, but
yeah, so that's what I was going to ask you. Would you try to adopt a kid who looked like it could be a combo of you and your wife, or would that not have any, bearing on it? Would you just adopt some kid from any country, or what's your idea with adoption in those regards? Does that matter at all to you?
You know, it doesn't really matter to me, but I honestly would like to have somebody different.
Mm-hmm.
That not necessarily resembles me or
right.
my wife.
Because it's kind of cool. You're kind of merging cultures. You're merging whatever.
But I would tell the kid, like, yeah, so here's how the deal was. Like, you know, you were adopted.
Like, why don't I look like you at all?
Yeah, I wouldn't be like one of those people like, yeah, you're my kid. And, you know, that's what happened. I'm not going to tell you the truth ever. And when I die, you're just going to be miserable.
Oh, man.
And, like, just trying to find your real truth and go on this big journey that's going to waste your life that I could have just told you, oh, you were adopted. And, like, I will tell everything about, you know.
Absolutely.
I like, it's great for the kids to know the truth.
Yeah.
Because I feel a lot of people are, when they are deprived from the truth, like,
yeah, that
they're
sucks.
On that
they
constant hunt of just, like, trying to get the right answers. And it's just a big waste of time that could be.
That's better.
Mm-hmm. I think it's the best thing ever. I think that's what I'm going to do eventually.
Absolutely.
That's
Absolutely.
What I want to do.
And then they get to see the good that adoption does. Then they get to see all sorts of good things. There's so much good. It's not just like there's some sort of negative, like, oh, yeah, by the way, you're adopted. Like, that's a negative thing. Why? That should be a positive, like, awesome thing. By the way. I mean, I understand why people would. Like, I get the whole thing. But, you know, that's so cool. Like, yeah, you know, we adopted you, blah, blah, blah. We love you just the same as any other kid, whatever. But, you know, whatever. Whatever the parents of their biological, whatever the story of the biological parents is, you know, they should know. They should be aware of that kind of stuff, too, once they are old enough to understand that.
I think it's interesting that you said that you would do also two and two. Like two adopted, and would it be like two like twins, like Rick and Martin? Well, nah, Rick and Martin was like more different.
No, I don't know. I haven't thought about the twin thing actually at all. But I mean, maybe not. I don't have it all figured out. I just know that I want to have some biological kids and I want to adopt. And then there's going to be a lot of conversation between my wife and I with what that's going to look like and how that's going to be. And even, you know, even that's why I was asking you the whole thing about, like, would you want them to look like you or whatever. I think, you know, my kids will be half black and half white. And then the adopted kids, like, they could be anything, you know. They could either be that same look Or, but why? You're like, so you're, maybe I'll get a.
So right here in the podcast, you just already lay it down that you're going to marry a black woman.
Absolutely. Amen. Yeah.
Amen. So this is happening.
Oh, yeah.
So
oh,
when's the wedding?
I don't know when the wedding is. I don't know any of this kind of stuff. I'm just talking preference and, like, absolutely. I'm going to marry a black woman for sure.
So it's happening. You listen out there, black ladies. Aaron is on the hunt with a lightsaber on his right hand and a blinky on his left.
Whoa. Blinky wedding ring?
Blinky wedding ring.
So what's the blinky?
That's the name of the company.
Yeah, flashing blinky lights. Yeah, no, I got the reference. I wonder if they sell flashing blinky wedding rings.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I'd buy my wife a flashing blinky wedding ring.
I was going to say, where are you going to propose? It has to be in the dark.
Yeah, I guess to get the full effect of the ring.
To get the full effect, yeah.
Yeah, we'll see.
What are your, I mean, there's been crazy lately, you know, between like the last 4 years, been crazy proposals that have been documented. Like recently I saw one from the, I think it was the Chicago Bulls, the cheerleaders, like they just like stopped their routine and went on that different routine. And one of the cheerleaders didn't know what was happening. And she got sat down in a chair. And then the guy came in, I think it was in a bull costume, and like went down his knees and like proposed in the middle of, you know, halftime of a game.
That's awesome. That sounds.
And
sad.
It was super awesome. Like, have you had any plans? Like, I know it's, you know, it's super soon for that, but like any idea of something that you would like to do or a way you would like to propose, like eventually?
So I'm definitely romantic. So I'm always kind of thinking about these things, like, oh, that would be really cool. That would be really romantic or whatever. But it's all going to depend on my wife, like who she is, you know, like what she likes and what she prefers. That's where it's all going to be. It's all going to have to be based around her preferences and whatnot. Mm. You know, so I have no problem doing the huge, big, romantic, whatever. But if my wife hates that, then, you know, I would have to do a smaller, more intimate proposal, which has its place as well and can be just as romantic. It just depends on her and who she is, what she likes and whatnot. And then I'll base my really romantic proposal around her preferences.
Okay, let's say right now you already have the girl of your dreams, the black woman you love, and
okay,
and she loves the big stuff. She loves you going all out and just being you and all that. And
you're gonna try to get me to give away my secrets now?
Not your secret, but like what will be like your ultimate thing? Like you're skydiving and you go, like, marry me. Or
that would be kind of cool. Anything big. I love big things. I love choreographed things. So like
a flash mob?
Maybe. But like choreographed things are pretty cool. So if there's like a lot of different choreography with something that goes into it, it's something that like obviously it's like this took time, this took effort, this is what you like, and it's like look how talented and awesome these people are who are like doing this whole thing, and then it's like boom, here I am down on my knee. Which by the way, I will definitely get down on my knee to propose to a woman. I feel like so often now, dudes like are not getting down on their knee. They're just like handing them the wedding ring or something like, hey, will you marry me? Here I am in my chair. Like what? Why do get down on your knee, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know if you feel that way or not.
No, I feel that way.
So I'm like, I see these dudes who are just like kind of lackluster proposing. I'm like, get down on your knee, brother. Like, what are you doing?
Get down on that knee. You heard.
That's what I'm saying, man.
That's what I'm saying. And on that note, right now, yes, we have reached. Because right
the
now,
end.
The end of the podcast. And there's anything you want to plug? Plug dates and stuff.
So I have 6 films coming out. I don't know. Just be on the lookout for my name. The Star Wars is still coming out. It's an 8-issue series. There's 4 left to be released. February, March, April, May. There will be 1 released per month. And Batman Beyond stuff is coming out. Flashing Twitter. I should have another one. My Twitter's @AaronGrobin. My Facebook is Aaron Grobin. I should be the first one that comes up when you type those in. I'm, everything's public, and like I said, it's my marketing page. My Instagram's at Aaron
Groban. You have so many audition videos on YouTube.
Oh gosh, you found those? Those are. I'm thinking about taking those down. Those are more like, you know, because I have to do self-submitted auditions sometimes.
Yeah, you don't have to take them down. I think you can put it private. Event.
I could do that, but right now I've just had them public. But maybe I should take them down. I don't know. Depends.
I saw one that you were a math teacher.
Yeah, I booked that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That was the first one I saw.
Nice. Good. That one has tons of hits on it for some reason. I mean, I guess because it's must be good. I booked it.
Let me see if I can find something weird that he doesn't want me to say in podcast.
Nah, you can see anything. There's tons of weird stuff, but I'm like, nah, I'm open about it. Put it out there, whatever.
That's cool. That's cool. Do you have a website?
No, I have a blog. Is it aaron.groban.wordpress.com or aaron.groban.wordpress.com? Something like that. They can also find the links for it on my Facebook and whatnot. Once a week, I publish a new blog.
Coolios. And go and check out. And all the links are going to be there in stevedes.com below the podcast. I'm going to set up all his links so it will be easier for you guys to click through them. Nice. Also, Instagram.
Yep. At Aaron Groban. Or at just Aaron Groban. I guess there's no at on Instagram, huh? Aaron Groban.
You're confusing people, Aaron.
I'm confusing myself. It's Aaron Groban, like across the board for everything.
You need to set everything just to one name.
Everything is, but sometimes there's ats and sometimes there's not. So it's all Aaron Groban.
Aaron Groban.
And if you're on Twitter, there's an at in front of it. Whatever.
Right there. And go and check out his stuff. And then, only then, if you have time, then go and check out my stuff.
Make some time to check out his stuff. This dude's coming up.
Just make some time.
If you ever need a lobotomy.
If you ever need a lobotomy, I can do it, man. If you have that O negative, come on, you're a universal donor. You know I'm an O negative, too? You know a lot of people. What's your blood type? You know,
A positive.
A positive? At least you know. You know how many people I've asked since that lobotomy thing? Because I'm like, now I'm concerned about
people. Your blood type is? Or ask what?
Yeah. I'm like, what's your blood type? And they're like, I don't know.
Oh.
I'm like, really? You don't know your blood type?
Yeah, it's just something you should know.
Something you should know. It's like your social security number, man. Yeah. You need to know all those
things. There's eat right for your blood type. There's all sorts of things you should know your blood type for. Yeah.
I mean, at the end, I don't really know if my blood type is my blood type. I'm just assuming from my mom. Because my mom, I asked my mom, I remember once, it was for a school project. They were like, oh, what's your blood type? I'm like, I don't know. Oh, go ask your mom. And I went and asked my mom, what's my blood type? And she said, O negative.
Isn't that like the most rare blood type there is O negative? That's you. You're a rarity.
I'm a rarity.
Look at you.
Yeah, that's me, man.
Nice.
That is me. So, yeah, guys, go and check out stevedance.com. And for all the Steve Dance stuff, whatever, go and follow my fellow amazing friend and actor over here, Aaron Groban, on his stuff. It's over there, laid down, stevedance.com. I want to thank Aaron for being an amazing guest.
Thank you.
You get a high five, sir. High five for being so awesome. He's out to do big things out there in the comic world and comic book world and also in the Hollywood world. So be on the lookout for all his stuff, especially on 2014, because 2013, 2012, and 2011 has been so amazing to him. And imagine how 2014 is going to be.
Imagine.
Skyrocket, man. Skyrocket. So, guys, I'll see you on the next Steve Des Island podcast.
You've been listening to the Steve Des Island podcast. Be sure to visit stevedes.com for more information about this episode, as well as past and future episodes. Rate and review this episode on iTunes. Don't forget to follow Steve Des on Twitter at SteveDesTV and like him on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/SteveDesShow. See you next time.